go to the website and listen to the message from this morning. I preached this morning about get back up and keep on running. Get back up and keep on running. And it was a good reminder for everybody, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 here tonight, and we're going to talk about this, running for the prize. Running for the prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. If you found it, let's stand together and read these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. Okay, I'll read verse 24 and then let's all read verse 25 out loud together. And then I'll read verse 26 and we'll all read verse 27 out loud together, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Together? "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." Together? "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Running for the prize. Running for the prize. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time together this evening as we study your word and this topic for just a few minutes. Please encourage our hearts. Help us to be good runners in the race that you put us in. And help us to strive for that prize, to run for that prize. We can obtain it. Lord, help us to be runners that glorify you, honor you, please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The greatest runner, you can be seated, the greatest runner we've ever had an example to look to is the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And oh, what a runner. He ran his race for us. And he is our example to follow. Just want to share with you tonight four quick things about what we need to do to be good runners. Good runners. If you're going to run for the prize, you got to be a good runner. Okay, four quick things tonight. Number one, a good runner must be temperate. A good runner must be temperate. Again, look there what it said in verse number 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Paul compares this Christian life and the Christian race that we're running to people that would run in just a, you know, an Olympic race. People that would run the sprint races and the marathon races and all that sort of thing. There's a good runner now in Canada, Andre DeGrasse. He's a young guy, went to university in the States, and he won a gold medal, I think, at the Pan Am Games and at the university championships in the States, and pretty good runner to come along for Canada. You know what? He's disciplining himself to try to be the best runner he possibly can. Have you ever heard of Usain Bolt? You ever heard of him? That's a pretty well-known name now worldwide. And he's a champion sprinter, you know, fastest man in the world probably. And you know what? He's disciplined himself, being very careful about his exercise and eating and so on, because to try to be the best runner he can. To try to master everything that he can in his running. And he says, they do it to win a corruptible crown. But we need to be temperate in our life because we're trying to win an incorruptible crown. We're trying to win a prize in heaven. We're trying to win rewards in heaven. So for that, we need to be temperate in our running, temperate in our lives. We need to have self-discipline and control in our lives. We need to control our appetites, our desires, because we battle against the flesh nature. And we want to be controlled by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and being controlled by the Spirit rather than the flesh. For that reason, we must be temperate. Look what it says over in Hebrews 12. And maybe keep something there in Corinthians because we'll come back there. But look over at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." And that's a great thought, isn't it? To think that there's a cloud of witnesses that are watching, that are seeing us run our race, they're cheering us on, just like a stands full of people would be cheering on the runners in an Olympic race. We've got those in heaven that are cheering us on and watching us. says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." To be good runners in the race, we need to be temperate. The Bible talks about laying aside weight, laying aside sin, laying aside those things that might hinder us in the race from being the best runner we can possibly be. That's true as a Christian. If there's things that would slow us down, things that would hinder our testimony, things that would keep us from being the Christian that God wants us to be, he says you lay aside those things. Lay aside sinful things, of course, because those are harmful to our Christian race. Those are harmful to honoring and pleasing the Lord. But then lay aside any weight, anything that just might be a hindrance. The weight might not be a sinful thing, but it might just be a bad thing that's slowing us down. Something that's keeping us sidetracked and so on. A runner must be temperate. A runner must be temperate. The second thing is this, right along with that thought. A good runner must not be sidetracked by sin. A good runner must not be sidetracked by sin. It said there, but laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Sin that will slow us down. Sin that will hinder us in the race. Sin that will keep us from doing what God wants us to do as a Christian. Go to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 1. Galatians 5. We said, number one, a good runner must be temperate. Good runner must be temperate. Number two, a good runner must not be sidetracked by sin. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Again, after we're saved, we're set free from the chains of sin. We're not to become tangled up in that. Again, a good runner can't live being tangled up in the bondage of sin. Down in verse number 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Well, leaven's a picture of sin in the Bible. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know what? A little sin's going to affect everything. Those of you that have read in the treasure books, you know, the little kins, right? The little sins we're to be reminded of. That they can be big things. They can end up hurting and destroying in an incredible way. Just a little bit of sin can greatly hinder us in our race. He says to the Galatians, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" We understand that the world will try to hinder us and the devil will try to hinder us. Those are enemies. But you know what probably one of the greatest enemies of the Christian is our own flesh. It's our own flesh, our own appetites that lead us that have that appetite towards things that are sinful, towards the things of this world. We've got to win that battle, even against our own flesh. We need to win that battle against the devil, win that battle against the world, the enemy. "Ye did run well." Who did hinder you? Satan tries to hinder you. Sin tries to hinder you. Wrong influences can try to hinder you. That's why the psalmist warned in Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Why? Counsel from ungodly and you know what? Getting counsel from peers, getting counsel from friends at school, getting counsel from this might not be the best counsel. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful." You know, sitting at the feet of someone, you're letting them be your teacher. Says you don't sit at the feet of the ones that are scorners, the ones that would make fun of what is true and good and wise and right and that sort of thing. And being careful there about those influences. Why? Because if you want to run well in the Christian race, you got to be careful what influences you. You can be trying to run well and you get excited about living for God and you're running well, but then wrong friends or wrong influences or things of this world, they can hinder you from running that race, from being the good runner that God wants you to be. So we need to be careful. Little leaven can leaven the whole lump. A little sin can get us sidetracked in life. A little sin can wreck and destroy and hurt a person's Christian life or a person's testimony. A good runner must not be sidetracked by sin. The world will try to appeal to us. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Right? If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. No, don't do it. Don't do it. So a good runner must not be sidetracked By sin, a good runner must be tempered. Okay, you help me review. What are those things? I just told them to you. Number one, a good runner must be temperate. Starts with a T, temperate. Number two, a good runner must not be sidetracked by sin. Okay, you got it. Number one, a good runner must be temperate. Number two, a good runner must not be sidetracked by sin. You're kind of quiet, some of you. And let's bring that out a little bit, okay? Number one, a good runner must not be temperate, sorry. Number two, a good runner must not be sidetracked by sin. Good. Number three, a good runner must discipline himself to spiritual exercises. A good runner must discipline himself to spiritual exercises. Again, in Corinthians, it said this, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. The runner is going to be careful about everything that they eat. The runner is going to be careful to make sure they get the right exercise. The runner is going to be trying to do certain types of exercises sometimes, even to build the right muscles in the right places. You know, a person that is just wants to build big old muscles, you know, this big. You know what? They won't be a good runner. Won't be a good runner. They have to be well trained and having muscles in all the right places and so on. A good runner must discipline himself to spiritual exercises. I thought about a few things. What are some important things? Exercise for us to be good runners spiritually. I thought of this, letter A, prayer. Prayer. The spiritual exercise of prayer. Prayer. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse 41. Acts 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in what? Prayers. And in prayers. They continued in prayer. They continued. Verse 46 talks about they continued daily. They continued daily. It became their habit. It became their spiritual exercise. It became the things that they did day after day after day after day after day. And if we're going to be a good Christian runner, in our race for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to pray. We need to take time to pray every day to continue in doctrine, yes. Continue in fellowship, yes. But continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Have a prayer life. Spend time in prayer with God every single day. We need that spiritual exercise of prayer. Letter B, Bible reading or Bible study or Bible meditation or all of the above. We need those things. We need the spiritual exercise of spending time in the Word of God. We need that spiritual exercise of spending time in the Bible. Look with me at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. You know 2 Timothy 2:15. Probably many of you do. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're challenged to study the word of God, to rightly divide the word of God, to spend time in the word of God. Now Joshua 1 and verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He said, hey, you want to be a good runner? You want to be mastering in your have mastery of your running ability? You know what? You spend time in the Word of God. You meditate in the Word of God. That's a spiritual exercise that we need to participate in. Acts 17 and verse number 11 speaks of the Christians in Berea. Acts chapter 17 and verse Acts 17:11, I think it is. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Search the scriptures daily whether these things were so. How often did they search the scriptures? Just seeing if you're listening. They searched the scriptures daily, right? They daily had to exercise.
They daily spent time in the Word of God. And we need that spiritual exercise of spending time in the Word of God each and every day. Studying the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Searching the Word of God. We need the spiritual exercise of prayer and the spiritual exercise of Bible reading, Bible study, Bible meditation. Here's another good exercise, and you're doing that tonight. Being faithful to church. Being faithful to church. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. We can even back up to verse 22 even. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart." How are you going to draw near with a true heart unto God? Spend time in the Word of God and spend time fellowshipping with God. Spend time in prayer. But what else? Spending time being faithful in church. Church is just a good investment of your time because you want to draw near to God with a true heart and with a pure heart. He says in verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." You know what? More people. I think that people are more likely at times to doubt what they believe and doubt things about the truth and not be sure of what they believe if they're not faithful to church. Person spends time in the Bible and a person is faithful to church, they should know what they believe. Person be faithful to church and Bible studies and Sunday school and that sort of thing, they'll learn the Bible. They'll learn the Word of God. And they will be sure of what they believe. They will hold fast to the profession of their faith without wavering. It just helps. It helps so much. It's a needed spiritual exercise. Verse 24 is another kind of reason involved in all this. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Say, "Well, I don't need to come to church for myself. I can just be home." Okay, fine. Don't come to church for yourself then. Come to church for somebody else's sake. Come to church for my sake, for her sake, for her sake, for her sake. Because when we do that, we're considering one another. I need to be there because my being there will encourage somebody else. I need to be there because I have a spiritual gift that needs to be used to edify the others and build up the others. We're one house. We're one church. We're one building. We're one body. Fitly joined together, Ephesians teaches us. And when we come together and we be faithful in church, we're considering one another and trying to provoke one another and encourage one another unto love and to good works. Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Faithfulness to church is a good spiritual exercise. It'll help you to be stronger spiritually, to help you to be a better runner in your Christian race. We need to discipline ourselves to spiritual exercise. It takes discipline, doesn't it, to get up to come to Sunday school. I lay down in bed this afternoon and I had a good sleep. Did I feel like getting out of bed? No way. No way, Ray. I want to stay in bed and sleep all night. Forget it. You know what? Did I feel like getting up this morning? No. I was tired last night and I took some nighttime cold stuff. And boy, when I woke up this morning, I did not want to get out of bed. But I had to get out of bed and come to church. We need to be faithful. It's a spiritual exercise that we have to discipline ourselves. It'll take time. It's a priority in my life. It'll help you to be a better runner. Help you in the Christian race. Help you to be faithful to God. A good runner must discipline himself to spiritual exercises. What are they? What's the first one? Starts with a P. Prayer. You got it. Prayer. Second one is Bible reading, Bible study, Bible meditation. The third one is being faithful to what? To church. And the fourth one is giving. Giving. Amen? Amen. He's got his amen sign there to hold up. We ought to be faithful in giving. Giving is a spiritual exercise. Do you know when the offering plate is passed? On a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, whatever. It's an opportunity to exercise. It's an opportunity to exercise our faith and to give unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 9. Look there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 7. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." God wants us to give. We understand that giving is a great exercise.
Giving will increase your faith. Giving will exercise your faith. Giving will strengthen your faith in God and prove God's faithfulness to you. Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We're taught in the Word of God to bring all our tithes into the storehouse. Corinthians 9 teaches us that is really how we take care of the house of God and the temple of God and the workers in the house of God. We need to exercise in our giving. We need that spiritual exercise to be givers. To be givers. I said this. Go back to number one. A good runner must be temperate. A good runner, number two, must not be sidetracked by sin. Number three, a good runner must discipline himself to spiritual exercise. What are they? I gave you four ideas. Four good spiritual exercise. Letter A is prayer. Good. Letter B is Bible study, Bible reading, Bible meditation, so on. Letter C is faithfulness to. And letter D is giving. Amen. All right, number four. A good runner must keep running even when tired or weary. Oh. Hey, girls, did any of you have PE class? I thought I heard you talking about it one time on a trip. And, you know, all they do is make you exercise, don't they? I heard you complaining about it. The PE class teachers, they just make you exercise and exercise. I remember PE class. You know what? We got this one teacher that came back from Bible college one time, and he was a bit of a drill sergeant kind of guy, and he later became a pastor. That was probably better than being a school teacher. And boy, he made us run and run and run and run and run. I didn't like that so much, but you know what? Teaching us character, helping us be men. And that's he made us run and run. You ever sometimes see, you know, at certain times of days, public school teenagers are running around the certain blocks around their school, or some of them are walking and so on. And he made us run this big circuit and so on. And he made us do these things called man makers, where we're running 10 yards, run back, run 20 yards, run back, run 30 yards, run back, run 40 yards, run back, run 50 yards, run back, as fast as you can, you know, try to make you sick, that sort of thing. Keep on running. Had to keep on running. Even if you're weary, if you're tired. You know what? The Christian race, sometimes people get tired. People get weary. And we need to keep on running. Keep on running for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Be a good runner. Be a faithful runner. Look what it said in Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We need to look there. And you say, why should we keep on running? If I'm tired, why should I keep on running? If I don't feel like it, why should I keep on running? You know? If I don't feel like getting up, well, why should I get up and keep on running? Well, I'm sure glad that Jesus kept on running for us. He ran His Christian race for us. Then He ran His race. Went to the cross for us. Hebrews 12, the end of verse 1, it said, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, comma, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus was a finisher. He was a finisher, and He wants us to finish in our race as well. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Hey, why should we keep on running? Why should we keep on running even when we don't feel like it? Why should we keep on running even when we get weary and tired? Why should we keep on running even if the race seems hard and it seems like it's all uphill? Well, because Christ kept on running His race for us. He ran up a hill to Mount Calvary for us. He went to the cross for us. He suffered and was despised and was rejected of men for us. We need to keep on running. Keep on running. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Just real close, maybe a few pages to the right in your Bible, you'll find it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 13. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, it says, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then look at 1 Corinthians 15.
1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, your running for God is not in vain. Your serving God is not in vain. Your living for Christ is not in vain. Your spending time in prayer is not in vain. Your reading your Bible every morning, that's not in vain. Your being faithful to church, that's not in vain. Keep on running. Keep on running. When you're weary and tired and don't feel like it, just keep on running. Keep on running. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're running seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the race when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Keep on running. Keep on running. A good runner must keep running even when tired or weary. And remember, our example is Christ. What a runner. He finished his race for us. He went to Calvary for us. He went up that hill for us. He endured hardness for us. He endured contradiction of sinners for us. It wasn't easy. But he took the cross for us. He took the cross for us. A good runner must keep running even when weary or tired. We said number one, you help me, a good runner must be temperate. Number two, a good runner must not be sidetracked by sin. Number three, a good runner must discipline himself to spiritual exercises. And then number four, a good runner must keep running even when tired or weary. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to follow the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful runners in our Christian race. We're running for the prize, not a corruptible crown, an incorruptible crown. And help us to strive for the mastery as Christian runners in the race. Help us to strive to live lives that are temperate, lives that are controlled by the Spirit and not by our flesh. Help us not to be sidetracked by sin or the world or the devil, but to live, Lord, for you, to run the race with patience, to run well, to make sure we're spiritually fit. Help us to participate in spiritual exercises every day and every week and faithfully all the time. May we be faithful to pray and to study our Bible, to read our Bible, to meditate on the Scriptures, to be faithful to church, to give and tithe week after week after week after week. Put our faith in God. God, help us to keep on running at times when we're weary. Father, let us be runners that run well, that don't get out of the race, but just keep on running for you. Help us, Lord, please, I pray.